are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Hey, let's start here. Good morning, church. It is great to be with you. My name is Scott. I get to be the interim teaching pastor here at Mission Point. Two quick things before we even jump into the message that I want to talk about. The first one, nobody asked me to do this. This is just because I think it's a cool story, and I think it ties into some stuff that's already happened today. A couple weeks ago, we were standing out in the lobby, my family, my wife, and a couple of our kids. And typically when I'm at church, right, we get to the end of things and my kids are like, "Dad, can we just go? Can we just go? Can we leave now?" Right? And we're standing out there in the lobby and we're talking, and this little girl, I don't know how big she was, probably 4 or 5 years old, comes running up to my 15-year-old daughter, because my daughter serves in MP Kids. Actually, both my kids do. My wife does as well. And serving MP Kids. And this little girl comes running up, "Audrey, Audrey," Audrey says hi to her. And right, and so they're standing there talking, and I look at my daughter and I was like, "Can we go now? Seriously? Like, can we just go?" I say that because when we talk about, like, when Jen stands up here and these guys talk about, like, serving here, it's not just like, "Hey, we need you." Like, there's something that happens as we serve one another. We get to know one another. And, like, that little kid was excited to see my daughter, who's investing in her. And that's now a part of her story. And my daughter has people that she's investing in. And then there are small group leaders investing in my kids. Like, it's how we do community. And so it is a big deal. And so, man, like, that first service, yeah, boy, they just, wow, like, amazing. Like, they, and there were more than four people here, by the way, in first service. So anyway, I just, like, just a little anecdote, a little thought. Secondly, Hudson wasn't here this morning. Hudson is our worship leader. Hudson got married on Friday. So it's great. You're clapping. He's not here, so he can't hear you. But, and I'm pretty sure he's not watching online today. So here's why I tell you that, because he won't be here next week. He's still gonna be on his honeymoon. Like, when he comes back in 2 weeks, whenever he's back, like, when you see him, just be obnoxious with, like, "Hey, like, so awesome, congratulations." Like, he will wonder, like, "What did they talk about while I was gone?" So, like, let's just welcome him back. My wife and I was thinking about this morning, Dina, that, like, I was a part of a church working part-time when we got married, and it was so cool to have this church just kind of surround us and embrace us. And so, really cool that he got married. So when he comes back, give him a high five. Like, "Hey, is your wife here? I'd love to meet her." Like, don't all of you invite them over for dinner, because that's weird. They're young, they're married, they don't want to do that. So either way, just be nice to him. Let's be obnoxious when they come back. So welcome. We are continuing the series talking about, like, our foundations in life. Like, what is your life? What is our life built upon? That's really the whole thought here, because all of us at some point, that foundation, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, that foundation at some point will be tested, and it will reveal what our life is built upon. Sometimes we're excited and we feel great about that, and other times we go, "Oh man, what have I been doing?" And so we're just kind of doing this gut check over a couple of weeks to say, what are our lives built upon? And we're kind of pouring through the Bible to look at those stories that reveal that. So we're going to do that again today. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be in the New Testament. We're also going to have a foot in the Old Testament as well. So if you brought a Bible with you, let's turn there, flip there. It'll be on the screens. If you don't have one, we say this every week, you can go out to the Connection Corner. You can grab a Bible there. They'd love to chat with you and make sure that you've got one. So Hebrews chapter 12, if you grew up in church or you have been a student of the Bible for a long time, you hear Hebrews chapter 12 and you go to, your brain automatically goes to kind of the Mount Rushmore of the Bible. Like, we're looking at the heroes of our faith and that. We're not doing that today. We're actually gonna camp out at the end of Hebrews chapter 12. And so to do that, I wanna start at the end of Hebrews chapter 12 and look at what it says. Here's what it says. "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Good news. Since we are receiving, those of us that are in Christ, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Is that good news this morning, church? Is that good news? The kingdom cannot be shaken? Yes. I got a woohoo and a bunch of, yeah. Okay. So we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That is great news. If we were going to pick maybe a staple verse for the series, this is a good one. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. But there's danger sometimes in just plucking out a passage of scripture. I did this a lot as a young believer. I would find a scripture that I like, right? I'm like, oh, I like that one. And I just pluck it out and I use it, not understanding the full context. And there's two things that can happen there, two major things that can happen. Number one, we can miss out on the fullness of that passage. Or even worse, we could be viewing that passage out of context and in error. So we have to look at it in its fullness. So already I've done you a disservice because that's a really cool verse, but it's not the full verse. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28, it starts with this. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is an all-consuming fire. If you were here a couple weeks ago, we talked about this, and I wanted a little pop quiz. Whenever you see therefore in God's word written, you should always ask, what's it therefore? Okay, several of you were here, okay? Some of you weren't. But when we see therefore in scripture, we should look at that and say, wait, what's it therefore? What actually happened? What is it referencing? What's it talking about? So here's what we're gonna do. We're actually just gonna roll back a couple of verses and we're gonna see what the therefore is pointing to, because I love this verse. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, come on, I want a part of that. I want that. Let us then worship, let us be grateful. But what's it referencing? So let's roll back just a little bit to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 21 is where we're gonna start. Verse 18. Now, a little context on Hebrews. I had to sharpen up on Hebrews again this week to remember this. Hebrews was written to Jews who had converted to Christianity. So these were Jewish Christians. So they grew up Jews memorizing the Torah, the law. And so they were waiting for the Messiah. Jesus shows up. Jesus is the Messiah. Some Jews accepted Jesus as the Messiah, and some Jews camped out. That's not him. You know, a couple hundred fulfilled prophecies, but somehow, well, we don't think that's him. Either way, these were people that have said they were Jewish by race, but then, yes, acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. So the writer of Hebrews is helping them move and not uproot and completely destroy their Jewish upbringing, but helping them understand and enhance that and to see Jesus in light of their Jewish upbringing, okay? So that's what we get. So here's what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 12. He's talking about a mountain, and he says this. He says, you have not come to a mountain, so you've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. Pause here for just 1 second. Again, I gotta point this out. We're gonna see two mountains this morning. And for Jews, this first mountain that he's talking about, this is a big mountain. This was Mount Sinai. This is where Moses received the Ten Commandments, where lightning and thunder and clouds shook around the mountain. So when this writer is saying this, he says, you haven't come to this mountain, they immediately know referencing Mount Sinai and the law and this really big, you know, ominous thing. So there's the context, right? You've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that's tangible, and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and a storm. Oh, to a trumpet blast or to such a loud voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further word be spoken to them. You've not come to that mountain because those people, they couldn't even bear what was commanded, because God said, even if an animal touches this mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight of that first mountain was so terrifying that Moses even said, I am trembling with fear. He grabs the attention of the Jewish audience. first by using this kind of this almost, it's a great speaking device, like when you're preaching or speaking. It's not this, which then begs the question, if it's not this, right? Everybody's wondering, then what is it, right? So it's a great device to use. And he says, you haven't come to a mountain that is burning with fire that you can't touch. It's a tangible mountain that creates fear. That's not the mountain you've come to. He's reminding them, in your Jewish tradition, you grew up in a tradition where God was unapproachable. Only one priest got into the Holy of Holies once a year. That forgiveness thing had to be done regularly, consistently. And if you messed up even the littlest part, the sacrifice didn't count. He says, you've not come to that mountain. To which those Jews there would have been going, wait, but that's what I grew up in. That's not the mountain we're on anymore. Let me pause here for just a second. Some of you grew up in a tradition like that. Some of you are still potentially on that mountain. Some of you potentially, and that's not all of us, but some of you potentially, and there might be one or two of you here that think that even if you screw up, there's no grace for you. Some of you are still camped out on a mountain that if you looked at something on the internet last night, you shouldn't be here today. That you're not welcome at church. Some of you grew up in an environment that if you even think those bad things, that grace is not available to you, that you've got to come every single time and you've got to ask for forgiveness and you've got to grovel and this God is just ready to storm you and beat you down. I want to remind you that this text starts with, you've not come to a mountain like that. Now, we can't ignore this God, because to ignore that would be to ignore the first half of his word. Because this first half talks about a system where when someone does something wrong, when we break God's laws and we break God's heart, a price needs to be paid. And that is true. That's what we see here. That's the first part that we see. But it's also why the writer of Hebrews led with, you've not come to this mountain. You've come to a different place. Here's a funny thing. Fear, though, is a great motivator. Temporarily. Fear is a great motivator temporarily. If you're a parent, you know this. If you do that again, you're losing that for a day. How long does that work, right? Not very long. Fear is a really good motivator to start with, right? I teach a couple classes here at the school. Man, those first couple days, I'm like, if you're on your phone, I'm gonna smash it and run over it with my car, right? Like that fear is like really good for just a little bit. And then they're like, no, you won't. And they're, right? So like fear is a motivator. It's a really good motivator for a little while. We actually see that. Right? You see that in the beginning, you know, God says, you know, to Eve and Adam, like, hey, you know, I wouldn't eat the apple thing. It's not going to be good for you. You know, you're going to be separated from me. And like, they're like, oh yeah. You know, 2 days later, Eve shows up naked with an apple and Adam's like, I'll eat that. Right? It's like, so fear is a motivator. Don't picture it. All right. So fear is a motivator. It's a really good motivator for about this long. It doesn't work. God tells his people, here's these 10 things. Don't break them or there'll be separation between you and me. The people are like, yeah, yeah. You know, Moses goes up to the mountain and they build a golden calf. They're like, hey, let's worship this. Fear is a really good motivator for a little bitty amount of time. But it's not a really good motivator long-term. Which is why we're reminded, you didn't come to that mountain because that fear motivation doesn't work. And God knew that from the very beginning. So if we didn't come to that mountain that is about fear, and that's not the mountain that God wants us to live on, what's this other mountain? We go back to the text. He says, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that's tangible. You've come to, we see it in verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. the heavenly Jerusalem. See what he's doing here? That you've come to a mountain that's different. It's not actually a city. It's this new Jerusalem. It's not here. You can't touch it. You've come to a different place, a heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. He goes through this list and he's talking about, let's use this for just a second. He's talking about this was Mount Sinai, which this was this mountain where, again, thunder, clouds, lightning, fire, huge trumpet sound that made people like afraid. They're like, oh, we don't want to hear God. Like Moses, you talk to God. We don't want to hear him because even his voice makes us freak out because we're imperfect. He said, you didn't come to that mountain. You've come to this mountain, Mount Zion, which was a mountain. So this isn't a geography lesson, but there was an actual mountain, Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The writer of Hebrews is trying to contrast those two mountains. He said, this is the mountain you've come to because the mountain that you knew was exclusive. Only Moses got to go up. It's exclusive. It's not for everyone. But now you've come to a new mountain and it's for everyone. So if you think you don't belong here, I've got good news for you. This mountain is for you. Yeah, but you don't know what I did. Yeah, you're right, I don't know. And don't stop me after church and tell me because I'm going out to lunch with some people, right? But like, I don't need to know all of those details, but you need to know this mountain is for you. Everybody has access to this mountain. Only some people had access to that one. But this is a new mountain. And he goes on, you've come to thousands upon thousands of angels. Ooh, that sounds scary. Until you learn they are in joyful assembly. Wait, so this mountain is a place of joy. That mountain was a place of terror. People are like, no. Like that mountain had a couple angels that came and visited Moses. This mountain, no, this is a mountain filled with thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, inviting you in, inviting you to be a part of the family, inviting you to be a part of something bigger than you. That's what this mountain is. He goes on, to the church of the firstborn. I love this. That's to the church of Jesus. As the idea of firstborn, meaning like God's son, right? You look in the context of the New Testament, Jesus has been born, died, resurrection. He was the firstborn. That was him. So you're now a part of something bigger than you. And by the way, we call this Mission Point Church, and I put myself under the authority of the elders that are here. But this is not our church. This is his church. We've put ourselves under the authority of Jesus. That's what we get to be a part of. He says, and then whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, the judge of all. There is a judgment. We do have to, like, again, we don't just completely leave that mountain. There is judgment that has to take place. And he will judge all of us one day. But we've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteousness made perfect. What does that mean? And then we learn what righteousness made perfect is. Hit the next slide. We've come to Jesus. That's this mountain is without Jesus. This mountain over here is where we have come to Jesus, the mediator. He's the one that stands between us and justice. He's the one that stands in between and mediates for us, the mediator of a new covenant, a new promise. And then this is weird. I'm always fascinated when we come to church and we're like, hey, welcome. If you're new here, this is great. And then we sing songs about blood and we talk about blood in church. It's like, welcome, blood, right? And so here's what this is. We come to this mountain, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Now, this stuff always makes me scratch my head. And I'm like, okay, what is this? And I got to dig in a little bit, right? So Abel, first murder on the planet. Abel and his brother Cain. Cain murders Abel. Abel's blood, we read in the text, was spilled out on the ground. His life is emptied. God shows up and was like, there was a murder. Someone has to pay. Something was done wrong. That blood, then we see in the text, cries out for judgment. Because something has been done wrong and someone has to pay. And what we see in the text is this new mountain, that's the old mountain, that blood screamed out, someone has to pay. This mountain, the sprinkled blood, is the blood of Jesus, who declares grace. Because we break God's law and we break God's heart, and what is demanded is justice, the same thing on that mountain, and Jesus steps in as the mediator and offers grace. So the thought on this is Abel's blood cries guilty. Jesus's blood on this mountain cries grace. And good news, church, that's available to us if we receive it. That's available to us. Let me ask you a question. Which mountain are you on? What's your address? What's your address? Are you on this mountain that you believe, oh man, I'm awful. I can't believe I did that again and this and then, oh. Where's your address, this mountain? Where you're over here, where you realize that you are under a banner of grace, that the sprinkled blood of Jesus has covered you and grace is available to you. I don't know your address, but I know that this mountain is real, but so is that one. The text goes on, Hebrews 12:25 says this, see to it then that you don't refuse him who speaks. This is where we start to kind of dance a little bit. We're gonna have one foot in that time period that was specifically written to the Hebrews and now this universal global truth for all of us. See to it then that we don't ignore him who speaks. That when Jesus calls us and leans into you and says, hey, do you wanna live on this mountain? See to it that you don't refuse him. See to it you don't ignore him. Because if they, these folks back on Mount Sinai, if they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? If God's calling you to more, if God's calling you to surrender to him completely for the first time ever, don't refuse him. If God's calling you to step in to something new, if God's calling you and wooing you to try something to serve him and you know it's him, he can be trusted. At that time, his voice shook the earth. So now we're back there. At that time in Sinai, his voice shook the earth and everybody freaked out. But now the writer's helping us look way ahead. It says, but now he has promised once more. There is a day coming that I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens. The words once more indicate that removing of what can be shaken, that is, it's created things so that what cannot be shaken would remain. That there is a day coming, and we're not going to get into the end times thing and argument. And what's this mean? And is this that thing I saw in the news yesterday? Is that it? I don't know. I just know today we're one day closer, and tomorrow we'll be closer than we are today. That's what I know, okay? So I don't know the day and be scared of people that say they do know the day, but I don't know the day, but I know we're getting closer. And there is a day when the things that can be shaken will be shaken, to reveal what cannot be shaken. There's a day coming, which means created things will collapse. Created things will collapse, but the kingdom endures. Created things that we make on our own, that we craft on our own, that we build on our own, that we save on our own, those things will crumble and they will collapse. They will be gone. They will vanish. They will wither. They will fade. They will go away. But the things built by God, the things that we stand on, that are his, will last. And if you don't believe me, I give you exhibit 1A. Raise your hand if you know what this is. Okay, a bunch of Grace College students in here going, got no idea what that is. Blockbuster, okay? Blockbuster. This is so funny. This morning I held this up and on our worship team, I was like, they said, how will we know to leave, to come back, to come in and play? I said, when I hold up the Blockbuster, when you hear me talk about Blockbuster, and one of the people goes, oh, that's where we used to go to rent DVDs. Go back a little further, right? A little further, VHS, right? And then one of the guys was like, what about Betamax? I was like, now you're out of my league, okay? So, like, you don't believe me that the things that we build on are gonna fade, they're gonna go away. Here's a Blockbuster tape. Please be kind, rewind you all right there, okay? This stuff is gonna fade, it's gonna go away. Oh, let's do this, quick. Somebody just bring me an iPhone. Somebody bring me an iPhone. Yeah, iPhone 4. And if you do have one right now, you're like, oh, I'm not taking that up there, right? Like, no way, right? No, because nobody's carrying an iPhone 4 in here. Even that, this is going to be replaced one day, right? It's going to go away. It's going to change. It's going to be obsolete. We build our lives on any of this stuff. It fades. It goes away. It does not last. Only the things that are eternal are going to stick with us. So what have we built our lives upon? Heck, in this community, how many times have we seen a company come and go, gets bought out, and there's like, it's going to be awesome, and then the next thing you know, your neighbor's moving. You guys, none of it lasts. None of it. Everything we build our lives on that we have made on our own, done, gone, goes away. And I've got my own scars from times where I've tried to build it and I've tried to stand on it and I've fallen because it goes away. The kingdom, those are the things that God has given us. Those principles, those truths. We stand on this. This is what endures. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It will be hard. But what have we built our life upon? Now we can get to verse 28, which says this. With all of that in mind, these two mountains, this mountain that demands justice, this mountain that offers grace. Therefore, with those two mountains in mind, therefore, since we are receiving that kingdom, the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us then be thankful and worship God acceptably, with reverence and not awe, not because he's gonna wipe us out because of we did something wrong, because we already did something wrong and deserve to be wiped out, but Jesus stood in our place. Therefore, let us be thankful and worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He will consume it, not because we're bad, because we were bad and Jesus took the wrath for us. When we experience that, our gratitude does this. Our gratitude grounds us even when the world shakes. When we'll embrace that, our gratitude grows and it grounds us. It grounds us and it keeps us in a space of remembering, wait a minute, this is an unshakable kingdom. I may occasionally build my life on something that's going to shake, but this is an unshakable kingdom. And so because of that, I'm going to show gratitude. And that is why I worship. That is why I serve. That is why I say no to sin and yes to the Lord. That's why I shut down my flesh and I stop doing those things that I want to do and I do the things that God wants me to do. That's why, because I serve an unshakable God that cannot be moved. So gratitude then becomes our expression. So I have to end here. I have to end with this. This mountain, Mount Sinai, is a mountain that's ominous and dark, and it is big, and it should be, because that's who God is. But he knew that fear is a horrible motivator, and he didn't want to leave us there. So he sent his son, Jesus, and to stand in the way, he's the mediator. And if you've never experienced that, you're like, that sounds like a really cool mountain. I want to be a part of that. And you've never experienced that. Today's your day, and now's your chance, and you get to do this. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, this mountain belongs to us. We get to have this mountain. And if that's you, I'm just going to challenge you during the song. We're just going to sing, and we're going to talk about in this song, we're going to talk about how God won't let us down, and he is strong and he is powerful. We're going to sing about that. But if that's not your reality, I just want to challenge you in a quietness and the stillness of your own mind, your own brain, your own heart to confess that and to release that and to let that go and to surrender to him. Let me pray for all of us. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for these two mountains. Lord, one that displays your power. This is big and enormous, and it is scary, but that's awesome because that means that this shows exactly how powerful you are. But Lord, thank you for the second mountain that we can stand on with confidence because your son Jesus already paid the price. We cannot pay. He stands in the gap so that we can be a part of that giant church that you reference there in Hebrews, that we get to celebrate in joyful praise with those heavenly beings, with those angels. Lord, we get to have our name written and added to the list that's referenced there. Thank you for that. And God, may that be something we never take for granted. May we express our gratitude to you daily, including today, as we sing, as we worship, as we remind ourselves of how big you are and how powerful you are. Lord, receive our praise, receive our gratitude this morning.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.